Five. And Alex, you can yeah, go ahead and record this. There was something else I was supposed to announce, and I cannot for the life of me remember what it was. Anyhow, Galatians chapter 5. I cannot add any more to what the Holy Spirit has done here today, but I want to give you guys just a couple of thoughts. Last Sunday morning, we started talking about spiritual warfare. And from phone calls and text messages and emails and Facebook messages that I received this week, I saw that the enemy's feathers were ruffled. A lot of people have dealt with a lot of different things. And one, I was reading last night and early this morning in Ephesians, there's a verse, I believe it's chapter 5, verse 27, if my mind's serving me right, but it says, neither give place to the devil. And I looked at the verses because, you know, when you read a general statement like that, you want to see what the verses around it say to explain the context. And it was talking about anger. It was talking about don't let the sun go down on your anger and that sort of thing. And then as it transitioned from anger, it said, neither give place to the devil. And, you know, we shouldn't give the adversary any place, whether it's through anger, through bitterness, through hatred, whatever the case is, through unforgiveness. And I've heard a lot of people say, well, you are on a roll today, son. Oh, you're getting your mama's. Okay, I see what you're doing. I thought he had more for the offering. but anyhow, I've heard people make this statement a lot, and through a lot of the messages, and I shared this a little bit here today already, that we say, well, the adversary is on the warpath, the enemy is attacking. We need to really be mindful of the words we say, because if we're not supposed to give him any place, what should we say in that regard? The enemy may try. He may try to attack. But he's not going to attack me, and you shouldn't allow him to attack you. He may try. But that doesn't mean that we, you know, I believe sometimes our words can open the door and allow the adversary in. And if I would say, well, you know, the enemy just hit me hard this week, then I have given him place and I have given him a level that God should be. You know, greater is he that's in us than he that's in this world. The enemy may try, but folks, he can't cross that bloodline. There's a balance here that we're all dealing with. There's a fine line that every one of us is dealing with. I want to read this here real quickly. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 16. Paul says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition one to another. We, last Sunday night, were talking, and the statement was made, we have this flesh part of us, but we also have this Spirit side of us. And whatever we feed into, whatever we nourish with water, is what's going to grow. So we have to look at each situation. We have to look at our personal lives and say, am I feeding into my flesh, or am I going to feed into the Spirit? Am I going to feed into my spirit? If I feed into the flesh, we'll get into this in just a moment. There's avenues that we go that we feed that flesh. And folks, we can't operate, the two will not operate together. You either flow in the Spirit or you flow in the flesh. You can't feed one and feed the other at the same time. That you can't satisfy both appetites. There's only certain, there's a certain way that we feed the flesh. There's a certain way that we feed our spirit through the Word of God, through fasting, through prayer, through all, you know, what you saw here today. You know, I feel like a guy in that video, honestly. That video that you showed me the other day. I that's how I feel, that guy that was trying to stand up and give his testimony. Whew. Lord, help me for, just give me a few moments, folks. He says, these are in opposition one to another, so that you may not do the things that you please. That you, God help me, I want you to say this with me, God help me to do the things pleasing to you and not the things pleasing to my flesh. Verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And for whatever reason, I stopped there, so I got to turn over here real quickly. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. You know, there's been times, and I'm going to be bluntly honest with you, there's been times that I have come in here on a Sunday or a Wednesday and been in the worst mood that I could even imagine. And I've really been sitting back and watch. I've been paying attention a lot more to myself. And you know, since we're on an apology tour, I owe you an apology for things that were said in the phone conversation the other night. I let anger take over, and I shouldn't have done that. And I apologize to you publicly. But I've really been watching myself, and I want to be as close to God as I can get. I want to be the best husband, the best son, the best daddy, the best pastor, the best servant, the best friend, the best brother that I can be. And in order to do that, I've really got to watch what Jamie's up to. I don't ever want anybody to see my fleshly emotions or my fleshly outbursts. I don't want you all to ever see that here. And I don't want anybody that comes into this church, because we don't know what God, we don't know who God's going to send, we don't know what their circumstances are, we don't know where they're coming from. But when they come, what do you want them to see in you? All right, you may say, well, they need to see this with the worship team, they may need to see this with the pastor, but what do they need to see with you? What should they see on your countenance? What should they see in your heart? Yeah, every one of us, we're the reflection of Jesus Christ. You understand me? Let us be imitators of God as dear children. Let us be followers of God as dear children. So people are watching and they're paying attention. And if they see something with you, you know, it's not fair for us to make a preconceived judgment. I met with a guy the other night from New Jersey. And he's become a good friend of mine. He's a retired school teacher. And I found out that a lot of where he stands on things, spiritually and politically and all different spectrums, him and I agree on a lot of different things. And I apologized to him. I said, look, I said, I gave a judgment on you based on what I knew about you, and that was you were a school teacher from New Jersey, one of the most liberal, left-wing leaning states in the country. And I said, my first inclination was you and I are on total polar opposites of things of the Lord and things in politics. And I said, I apologize. I had no idea. I gave a judgment out there, and I shouldn't have done that. With that said, when people come in here, when we get new people that walk in here, what kind of a judgment do you want them to make about this place? What kind of a judgment do you want them to make about you, about the ministry that goes on in here? Do you want them to see a bunch of sourpusses and a bunch of people that are in bad moods all the time and say, well, I got that place has nothing for me? Or do you want them to walk in and say, I have never seen and felt the love of God like what I have seen and felt from this people and in that church? What do you want people to see when they walk in? You know, I gave it to Bobby Joe, but I had this book. It was youth-centered. I think Josh McDowell wrote it. And it was Check Your Brains at the Door. And I think I gave you that book. I'm not sure if you got that or not. The title of that book, when I first got that book years ago, I thought that was just one of the funniest things in the world. And as I've been reading and studying and praying and seeking God for the last few weeks on spiritual warfare and seeing what could people see from us, I'm thinking, you know what? Sometimes we need to check our attitudes at the door. You know, we need to check our preconceived notions, our preconceived judgments. We need to check our, if you're in a bad mood, that's fine. You know, let God deal with your bad mood. Boldly approach the throne of grace. Come in here, leave out of here different than the way you walked in. You know, if you've got nothing to add to the pot other than being a Donnie or Debbie Downer, then get connected with God. Don't let that filth come out of your mouth, and don't let that filth be seen on your face, because somebody's going to walk in here that doesn't need to see it and they don't need to hear it. You know, let me share this with you. I'm speaking about my flesh, and I'm going to finish with this, and we'll pick up here maybe later tonight, next Sunday, however. My flesh wants to be angry. I want to feed that anger. I want to have hate in my heart. I want to have bitterness in my heart. I want to have unforgiveness in my heart. I want lust to reign in my life. But I've learned that I have to submit. I want to get angry sometimes and just scream, God, I can't do this anymore. I don't want to do it anymore. God, I don't want to love people that don't love me anymore. I want to have hatred in my heart towards people that have hurt me and wounded me in the past. That's how I feel. That's how my flesh is. But God, I resign my flesh. I submit my will, and I submit my flesh. I submit my carnal desires and my carnal appetites. I submit those things over to His will and to His purpose, because I don't want the things of the flesh to reign in my life. I want love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, faithfulness. I don't even know if I repeated myself on some of those. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I want those to reign in my life. I don't want bitterness. I don't want people to come in and see a group of people that are down in the dumps. I want people to walk in and see the happiest bunch of yahoos that you could ever imagine. I take a stand and make a pledge that everything in my life will be operated by what the Spirit says and by what the Spirit wants. I take that stand. Will it be easy? Absolutely not. But greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Who else is ready to take that stand? Who else is really ready, honestly ready to say, I resign my wants. I resign my flesh. I resign my appetites over to the things that the Lord has and the things that the Lord wants. Let's stand.